John, the 10th chapter, verse 10, 10 and 11. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth life for the sheep. Let us go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we just thank you for all that you've done for us. And Lord, we're just so thankful for Jesus so that we can say it is well with our soul. Lord, as we turn our thoughts and minds to you and to your word this morning, we understand, Lord, we live in a world of despair and a world that has no hope, Lord. But we know that you are a God of hope. And you sustain life. And Lord, we're just so thankful for all you've done for us through Jesus, your Son. Ask you to forgive me of the sins I've committed against thee. Ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Last week, I started a sermon on 13 reasons why not. We covered two of the 13. And so we're going to be talking about that a little bit more this morning. So 13 reasons why. Some of you've heard about that. I talked about it last week. 13 Reasons Why is a book that was released in 2007, a TV series released this year in February about a young teenage girl, Hannah, that takes her own life. The 13 people she mentions in the tapes and the 13 different experiences that each person provides her are her reasons to take her life. She blames others and circumstances. So last week I had asked how many people had heard of the TV show 13 Reasons. All of our teenagers had heard of this, and only about half of our adults had heard it. We as adults are not always aware of what our young people face and what our young people have to deal with. And so this morning, I know my sermon is kind of to our teens and to our young people and to even our young married or singles or younger in the congregation. But we all face difficulty, trials. We all face depression. It's just that our younger generation, especially 13 to 24, but everybody deals with difficulties in life. And sometimes the younger people aren't quite equipped to how to deal with that. And so, in response to this 13 Reasons Why and the fact that it really gives no alternative, I wanted to share a biblical perspective on life and hope and what God has to offer. So between last week and this week, I had come across some information that I want to share with you. I know I gave a lot of facts and stuff last week, and these are all a little bit different. But last Wednesday, I heard an interview, and I know Brother Steve heard the same interview. The head of the Department of Child Psychology at Oregon Health and Sciences, OHSU, that's the hospital up on the hill, right? So the head of their child psychology department gave an interview, and he said this concerning 13 Reasons Why, the TV series. He said, teens should not watch the show, but if they did, it should be with a a responsible adult. He also indicated that since the show has aired, there has been a spike in the rate of suicides across the U.S. I'm going to give a little more information concerning that also. Suicide prevention advocacy groups are speaking out about the new Netflix series, 13 Reasons Why. This is secular. This isn't Christian psychology. This is secular psychologists and secular groups that are speaking against this. One of these groups is Save. It's Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, and the group is called Save, a nonprofit group with a mission of suicide prevention. Their executive director said this: "We are worried about the copycat effect of suicide. The way things are portrayed in the media does have an effect on the way suicides can happen. This is particularly true for young people that are very vulnerable and at risk of suicide." And he continues, "My thought about the series are that it's probably done more harm than any good." You know, it's got to be pretty bad in our world for secular people to start talking about it, right? And so, and saying that it's bad. Calls to suicide crisis lines have tripled since February when the series started. And those in the mental health field say some of that is caused by the Netflix drama 13 Reasons Why. Obviously, for some of them, the callers, it's been a trigger. And the head, and I can't pronounce his name, the assistant professor at McMaster University of School of Nursing says that it has been a trigger. The OHSU director of child psychology says there's been a spike in suicide. So this has been an issue. Should we address this as a church? Is it something I should be preaching on? I think that if it's affecting our people, we need to hear what the Bible has to say about it. And so that is why I am doing this. Now, I'm not just preaching to our young people. We all face depression, discouragement, time when we ask ourselves the question, is life worth it? And God has an opinion on the subject, and so that's why I have titled and have been and will be preaching on, I don't know how far we're going to get, 13 Reasons Why Not. Life is precious. So leading cause of death for 13-24-year-old, came across some statistics. I mentioned this last week. Accidents number one, homicide number two, suicide number three. That is tragic and terrible, but the interesting thing, now I want you to notice 13 to 24, right? But for 15 to 19 teens in this five-year range, in this last, in 2014, I think is when this happened, that suicide has overtaken homicide in that range. So for the age group 15 to 19, homicide is the second cause. What did I say, homicide? I meant suicide. So suicide is the second leading cause for death in this group. And so, and if you look at the statistics, the older you get, the lower that goes. But it's still always an issue that we have to be aware of and we want to be talking about. So should we talk about it? I think we should. I think Jesus addressed it. It's kind of interesting. In John the 10th chapter, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. I call and they follow me." In that group of verses, he says, "But the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." We have a lot of things that is a thievery that takes life. Accidents is a thievery. Homicide, drive-by shootings. Some of you are sports fans. You've heard the name Brandon Roy. I love Brandon Roy as a trailblazer. He was a hard player, played very hard. A month or two ago in L.A., he was at his grandmother's house, and he there was a drive-by shooting, and he walked between the drive-by shooter and his niece and took a bullet that would have hit her. Not only was he a pretty good basketball player, I think he's a pretty good human being. Homicide can take life. We had an incident. I mean, it's not just in L.A., right? I don't want to live in L.A. It's a big, dangerous place. This last week on Max, right? There was a guy, a couple of young girls he was verbally abusing. Three men stepped in to give aid and to do the right thing. Two men lost their life, right? Things can steal life. This was a man who took two men's lives. One was like 26 and one was 40 something, I think, and then the one that's in the hospital is 19. I believe that's right. So these two men, one in their mid-20s, so things can steal life. And Jesus talks about this. A thief has come but to take something, and there's things that in this life that takes life before it's meant to, sinful things and hateful things. But Jesus says, I am about giving life. I've come that they might have life, eternal life. That's good. You know, I don't want to spend eternity in hell. But Jesus not only gives eternal life or to be in the presence of God for all eternity, he also gives what he terms as abundant life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Not only does God want to affect our spiritual life, he wants to affect our physical life and make it more meaningful. And so one of the things that this 13 reasons, this young girl took her life was that these 13 things that people had done to her, and her life no longer, in at that moment, felt like no longer had meaning for her. Jesus Christ can give us meaning more than just how someone else thinks about me and what these people may have said or may have done. He wants to give life that is abundant and full. And he also talks about that we might have life and that we might have joy. Depression and all these things can steal. It is a thief. Our emotions can take this abundant life from us. Jesus says, I am a good shepherd. I will watch over you. I will take care of you. And what he wants to give is much better than what the world wants to take from us. So, 13 reasons why not. 13 reasons why, for our young people, for our old people, for anyone who's struggling in life, 13 reasons why life matters. First of all, I covered this one last week, so I want to go through it quickly because I do want to get to the end of this sermon, these 13 things. You belong. One of the things that people struggle with and depression and things, we start to isolate ourselves. We start to stay at home. We start to separate ourselves. We don't reach out to people. But you belong. The Bible talks about you have a place in the church, in your family, and we need to reach out to one another and let people know that you belong. Last Sunday night, or Sunday afternoon after my sermon, we had our young people stand up and we shared about the fact that they belonged and what we loved about them and what we liked about them. We need to share with one another that they are important and an integral part of our life. The second reason in dealing with 13 reasons why not is you have value. You are worthy. You are worth something. One of the things when someone gets depressed, we start feeling all alone and we start feeling that we have no value, that we aren't worth anything to anybody or even ourselves. And this is an issue, and the world reinforces this, but we have value. And one of the verses that I really love is that Jesus Christ, we're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus loved us enough and saw enough value in us that he sent Jesus Christ to die. Now, here's the thing. I'm not worthless. God saw value in me, but I'm broken, right? And there's a lot of verses that talk about how we're broken, and Jesus has come to heal the broken. And we are, sin has marred us. We are sinners, and in saying that we have value and worth, I'm not saying that we don't have sin, and our sin, my sin, the glorious thought. You know, I don't like to think about my sin, and I surely don't think it is glorious, but here's the thing. When I think about my sin and the fact that it has been nailed to the cross, and the fact that God has taken me that is broken, yet has value, and restored me and given me greater value, right? Something restored has greater value. I'm not usable broken, but he saw value in me, and it cost the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And this issue of value, once we're saved, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto or for the purpose of good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are his handy work. Psalms 139:14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully, I am wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Sometimes when we're despondent and discouraged and depressed, we don't even like ourselves. And how we view ourselves, and it's hard to say, Lord, thank you for who I am, for the way you made me. People can be cruel, and we can talk about and pick on one another about our size, our height, our color. People are relentless. There is no one that is a human that is above somebody picking on you and finding something they don't like about you, because we're all unique, right? We all have these things that make us unique. Some of us are more unique than others. and I shared with you when I was in grade school that I got in trouble for beating a kid up, right? Not proud of that. Kids, don't try it at home or at school. You'll get in trouble for it, and rightfully so. But I was being picked on, and I finally had enough. Not the way to handle it, but we're all prone. We are all someone, the world tries to lift themselves up by making you smaller, and we can't listen to those lies, for the world has come to steal and to kill. If the world can bring you down, it will. Jesus has come that we might have life, to lift us up. I am fearfully, I am wonderfully made. I am one of God's wonderful works. Am I perfect? Do I have things about me that I don't like on some days? But here's the thing, I am unique, and God made me that way, and I'm thankful for all that God has done for me. And I have value in who and what I am, and so do you. So the third thing in these 13 things is you have talent, you have gifts, you have abilities, you have things to offer to one another. So many of you know we have three of our families that work, have members of their family that work at Solar World, right? And Solar World is struggling a little bit, and so I know that there's some concern there, and we need to be praying for these families and for Solar World. And Barbara had posted that Solar World is struggling and that, you know, Nate may need a job. And so in doing that, some people reached out to them and said, hey, come here, come here. And as soon as I saw that, I saw it a couple of days ago. And I'm glad she posted that. I think it's great for her for them to hear that. But I came to Nate, and I said, I want you to know that you're wanted and needed here. That if they were to leave, and I'm praying that the Lord wants them here, if Solar World collapses, that God has plans for these three families and has jobs for them right here. Could you imagine the DeWebbers being gone? It would be a hole in our family, and we've had other people gone, and you are important, and you have gifts and talents, and Brother Nate has been teaching, and what a great job. I just, our young men, Chris and Nate and Kenny, have been teaching, and they're all different. But they all really great, aren't they? And it's good for us. And Sister Barbara's teaching the young people, and have all these gifts that they bring to our church, and I'm so thankful for that. So Romans 12, verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy. Now, this gift, we sometimes think gifts of the Spirit, which is prophecy, tongues, those things. What remain now is faith, hope, and charity, right? This is not gift. This prophecy, because it comes down and it talks about exhortation and ruling. Those aren't gifts of the church. And if you look at the word prophecy, this is better teaching the Bible, expounding on the Bible. So these are talents. Having then talents differing according to the grace that is given to us. We have different talents. Kenny and I are different, aren't we? We are really different. Kenny, next Sunday you're going to preach and I'm going to sing. And play the guitar. I've never went one strum up or down, but that's what we're going to do. Now, is that the best use of Brother Kenny? Now, Brother Kenny can teach and stuff, so I'm not saying that he couldn't expound the Bible. Is that the best use of my talent? I have zero music. Is it possible to have negative talent? Where you take from other people in the room when you sing or try to do something. I have negative musical talent. I can't do that. For 2 years, I took music in grade school. And when I thought about doing it the fifth year, the teacher thought maybe I should try something else. That was okay. I didn't enjoy it anyway. It didn't really hurt my feelings. It was probably wise for him to do that, me wasting my time and making people listen to me trying to play the saxophone. It was not pretty. We all have different talents. And so one of the things that we need to do is find our talent, having then differing. But everybody has talents according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy or expounding in the Bible. Let us expound according to the proportion of faith, or in proportion, or in comparing of the doctrines of the Bible. Ministry, let us wait on our ministering. You know, use our talent wisely, or teaching on teaching. He that exhorteth on exhorting. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So talents. And one of the things that is a struggle when we get despondent and depressed and start thinking that when the world starts to steal life and we think that maybe we're better off and maybe everyone else is better off, we don't think we have a usefulness. You're not viewing your talent through God's lens. You have a usefulness. You are needed. You are wanted. What we need to do is work on what is that gift. I love to see teens. I love to see anyone discover for the first time something that they're good at, some natural or learned gift that they didn't recognize or know that they had. It gives them a totally different view of the outside world. This sense, when we feel like we are useless, we need to come and talk to somebody. Our young people last Sunday afternoon, we had them stand up and we said things about them. And people were shocked about and weren't aware that we were aware of how useful they are. There are so many things that God wants for us. What was Ephesians 2:10? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. There's so much we can do for Christ if we will let him work in our life more abundantly. Number four, life can change at any moment. Our young people need to understand, everyone needs to understand, that life is kind of like a roller coaster filled with ups and downs. It can change and it will change at any moment. It can change for the worse and it can change for the better. Much of it depends on how we respond to those challenges. We need to hear that misery and misfortune represents a low moment, but hope lies just ahead. I love the advice, and I looked this up. It's sometimes attributed to Franklin Roosevelt and sometimes Thomas Jefferson. But it's a statement. It says, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. We need to realize that in life's worst hours, a new day is just over the horizon. It will change. You ever said it can't get any worse? And then it does? But there is a low, right? The valleys can only go so low. And I have been in those valleys, but I've also been on the peaks, and for us to cut our life short is to miss. Just think of some of the things you could miss and the great opportunities that you have. And I love the verse, we all know it, and we know that all things work together for good of them that love God. Now we like, sometimes we just say we know all things work together for the good. Well, there are some conditions. One, you got to love. There's God's going to work things out, those that love him, for his people. We've been seeing that in Sunday school in the book of Isaiah. To them that are called according to his purpose, and so those that are living God's life. But God will work things out in your life. Don't give up just yet. 13 reasons. Number five. The big picture is much more than all the details. Young people can struggle with this. We tend, when we're young, to be very close to and wrapped up in isolated moments. We you know, my first car, isolated moments. Now I understand a car is just a vehicle, a way to get from one place to the other. One of the things that Joyce has done to make me the maddest was in my new car. And I was mad at the time. And looking back, it was an isolated, it was a, I was focusing on a detail. So I had this new car, and she, I think I bought her a pop. I don't know, it was a can pop. And in my new car, she took this pop and she started shaking it up. Now, you see her head going, no, right? So I'm preaching, so I get to tell my side of the story, right? So she's shaking it up, and she comes and likes this and opens it. And this coat goes all over my car. Now, her version is, I bought this pop. I think it was in the console. I don't know. And she would say that because of my wild driving, this pop got so shooken that when she opened it, it spewed all over my car. Now, today, it would be... yeah, I tried that too, and that doesn't work either. Today, it's like, you wipe it up. I mean, my perspective has changed. But at that moment, it was my new car, and I was really upset. And, you know, what's to put this all in perspective, I haven't had that car for 35 years. Okay, so I haven't had that car for 40 years. But I still have my wife. But at the time, what was my bigger concern? Right? We get focused on these things, and we can get all askew, and we need to look at the big picture. At the time, I thought taking care of that car was kind of important and keeping it nice, which now I'm more worried about taking care of my wife. Does that make sense, the perspective? And so in Isaiah says 60, Isaiah 64, 8, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, thou art the potter, we are the work of thy hand. So artists can create things, pottery. The Bible talks about this artistic thing that God is doing for. He's this artist, and he's making a masterpiece, and you are his masterpiece. Today we look at art and people painting. What does that look like? Christmas, right? This is Santa Claus belt. He's kind of out of shape. It's an abstract Christmas painting of Santa Claus. Is that what it is? I don't know. But that's a detail. But what's the big picture? What's this detail? Somebody's playing tic-tac-toe. Isn't that what that looks like? You see the circles and the X's and, you know, but what's the big picture? Does somebody know what this is? I bet you've seen it in the last 2 weeks. Anybody seen that painting in the last 2 weeks? Have you seen? No, everybody's saying. Some of you are going, yeah, you've seen it. This painting was originally sold in 1982 for $19,000. I think they overpaid. But here's the thing. The artist wanted to express something, right? Now, I don't get it. I'm not saying it's beautiful. I just use it as illustration. So the detail that I picked out earlier was this, okay? Kind of looked like Christmas. This kind of looks like tic-tac-toe. But he has this to express something. I don't know what he's trying to express, but the artist had something to say. Now, if you just saw those details, you couldn't see what he was trying to express. God, and I hope what God has to say through us isn't quite as angry. I think we're more beautiful in that. But I just wanted to show you, because this is a popular, it has in 82, it sold for $19,000, they overpaid. In May, the beginning of May, that sold for $110 million. Really overpaid. I don't get it, but the artist was expressing something. Now, God is going to take something and make it, take something that was broken, and he's going to make you. He's the artist. And trust me, it will be beautiful. But I just wanted to show how that sometimes we can cut our life short and we don't allow God to have his full expression. The artistry of God isn't done in our life, and God has many wonderful brushstrokes left to make you into his beautiful piece of art. Storms will come. Life is like a roller coaster, right? We're going to have lows, we're going to have highs. Those lows we don't always like. Number six of the 13, these storms will help you grow stronger. There is a great illustration in Psalms 1. It says like a tree planted by the water, right? Jeremiah uses that same analogy. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. We have hope. Remember the thing I talked about last week is warning signs of suicide. One of any list you look at, somewhere on the list, there's going to be no hope. We get to despair. And it's interesting. My text verse last week talked about the hope that God gives. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope, there is hope in Christ, for he shall be planted, be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in that year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Drought will come. What doesn't kill me makes me stronger. I've had some tough things in my life, and if I were to share those, and I have from time to time, some of you have had really tough. I mean, my things look pitiful compared to what some have gone through. I've been very blessed that I haven't had to deal with a lot, but what I've had to deal with sometimes can make things look very gloomy and very, very dark. But those, now when things, those have put me in a position, now when things come, I'm stronger. And I can use those to help myself. I can use those to help others. For he is as a tree planted, and the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. We have hope. These difficult times don't have to be the end, can't be the end. God gives us hope. The last one, we're going to do number seven. Your story is still being written. Any teenager or anyone who has suicidal thoughts need to realize that suicide is an unnatural ending to what could have been a longer and more beautiful story. There can be no more, no possibility of redemption, no victory after adversity, no hope for a new day. Suicide isn't revenge or retaliation. It cuts short the story long before it is fully written. It is an irreversible decision. Knew a young man, some of you know him, the Hayes' grandson. We happened to be with the Hayes's, and they got a phone call, and their grandson of 19, I can't remember the exact age, took his life. His girlfriend had broke up with him, and he thought his life was over. Life isn't just one moment. And yes, I'm sure his heart was breaking, but his siblings and his cousins and his friends, there were 200 plus people at his funeral. And he felt, I'm sure he was depressed. He felt all alone. And yet, we need to reach out. It's not the end. It's not a solution. It's an unnatural ending to something that God's not done with. And these valleys and these droughts will make us stronger. We need to hold on. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected, and God has a plan for your life. And sometimes we think, God, how can you do this? You're messing up my life. God has a plan, and we need to not allow these thieves, these things to come in and steal and to kill and to take what God would like to make into a beautiful artistic life. In closing, if the pianist and song leader will come forward, the text verse that I used last week, I want to use as my closing verse. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. When we get discouraged, when we get distraught, when we get depressed, we think there is no hope, that ye may abound, that God can give you joy and peace. These three things are things that we don't have when we're struggling with life, but they can give us, God can give us joy, peace, and hope. Let's all stand.